Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, friends. It's hour two of In This League. It's the ITL Boys. I am the Welsh. That is the Bogman. And you are you. Thank you for tuning in. We got a whole bunch coming up on week 12 of the NFL. But in what was a shocker to me, you and I were actually on the phone. And it was a weird moment because, like, you were in a bad mood, rightfully so. We were having a personal conversation about just some stuff. And you were not in a good mood, and you were lamenting some stuff to me. And in the midst of it, you were pissed, and you're talking, and you kind of took a breath. And I went, DeMarcus Cousins just signed with the Rockets. I needed to throw that in because you needed to know, because you're such a diehard Rockets fan. And your response was like, "Of course." And then you just kept going on. It was the most non-sell, because you were mad, but you had to acknowledge, like, of course this is happening. You've never been a big Cousins fan, and your Rockets just collect all the players you hate. Westbrook, Cousins, and Harden, that ain't gonna work.
Well, I wasn't a big CP3 fan before they got him, too.
That ain't gonna work. That roster is a ticking time bomb. It is, yeah. Mike McCarthy with a sledgehammer and a watermelon on the ground.
It really is. And I love this team, and I love Harden, but Westy is volatile, and you put him with DeMarcus Cousins, the most volatile player in the NBA. Someone posted in the Rockets subreddit, it was like, man, the refs are going to hate calling our games. Like, the refs are going to hate the Rockets because Westy and Cousins yell at the refs more than anybody else besides CP3 in the league. So Cousins has started some crap too, and Westy always has some problem with someone. So I don't know, man. But here's the thing: is who knows who is going to be on this roster opening day?
You want to know what, dude?
Who's going to be there after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I wonder, like, could Harden be the one out and Westbrook and Cousins go? Because I think those two would get along. I think those two would actually work with each other. And do they move Harden out? There was that rumor of a sweetheart, you know, handshake under the table deal that Harden to Brooklyn was already in the works. So you never know. That could be one of those things. Cousins could be a move to appease Russell Westbrook to stay along. Yeah. Who knows? We got to go to break. When we come back, though, any other final thoughts on that? And then we're going to get to week 12 of the NFL. So don't go anywhere. In This League, back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon. We'll be right back.
snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and smoking
them. In this league.
Break it down.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. That is the place where you guys can not only support us, but you can get a whole bunch, whether you're looking for baseball related lists like my top 300 for the upcoming season and positional stuff. There's a dynasty list, top 300, top 500 prospect list. We've got college football podcasts. We got live streams. We've got group me rooms, secret shows, and tons more. Come and check out our little piece of the audio universe in this league at patreon.com/in this league. We would appreciate if you do so. And it is time for some week 12 in the NFL. Now, Bogman, we had a little bit of a controversy this past week because on the radio show, we did the lineups. It was recorded earlier. And my entire lineup blew up.
Yeah, we're just going to wash that.
It has to be a wash. We had one wash week where you got it. This is a wash week for me. Now, it was funny. Our boy Toft, who gets the internet points for his contributions, he had made replacements. And he was so funny about it. He made replacements for me. And then, he hit me up during it. He's like, we did it. We barely won. And he had changed the entire lineup. And I was like, this is awesome. We can't use it. Like, we're not going to be able to use this because the entire
lineup. It beat my lineup by, 0.1.
That's crazy. It's still
the point. You said it's, 149.9 to 149.8 or something like that.
The point loss thing, it just still hurts. It still hurts when it constantly goes down like that. When you get, I lost by, 0.42, I think, this weekend. And I was just come on. Come on, dude.
Yeah, you got to pray to the god of stat corrections at that point.
Yeah,
so
it already completed itself, and I don't think anything is coming back to me on that front. But it is a wash week, so I am still up by one. That's how it's going in. We've got 17 weeks to go through, but I am up by one in the DFS contest. It was a wash because, I lost my quarterback. I lost DeAndre Swift. I might have lost somebody else just through all the insanity that happened during the week. So we reset into week 12. And Bogman, why don't I hand it off to you this round to start us off?
All right. So I'm paying up for my quarterback this week. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes at 9,000. He's very, very expensive, but I do not care. They're playing Tampa Bay. No one can run against Tampa Bay. Their run defense is great. We just saw them on Monday Night Football do pretty great against Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Against the Rams running backs, all the trio there of Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, and Malcolm Brown. So I don't think Kansas City is going to find much success running the ball. They're going to have to pass a bunch, and that always plays into Patrick Mahomes' hands. So, boom, Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback, 9,000. My running backs, I went with an old priest and a young priest. I went with a expensive and a cheap. Nick Chubb against Jacksonville, he's 8,400. He's pretty expensive, but this top end on FanDuel, Dalvin Cook is so much this week. He's 11,000. So it's hard to buy him. McCaffrey's out for another week. We saw Alvin Kamara limited with the foot a little bit last week, and he didn't catch any passes from Taysom Hill, which is concerning. So I think Nick Chubb is the best affordable option. Then James White at 5,400. We know Rex Burkhead is out for the year with that torn ACL. James White had 9 targets. He's going to see a lot more action moving forward, in my opinion. So 5,400 against the Cardinals, they should be throwing the ball a lot too. So I like James White this week. My wide receivers, I really like these picks. Keenan Allen keeps getting 20 targets a game. It's ridiculous. He's the only guy that Herbert throws to more than 3 times a game. So they're going up against Buffalo. Not the greatest matchup, but I love Keenan Allen at 8,200. Then Cooper Kupp coming off his 20 receptions or whatever he had on Monday Night Football at 6,700 against your Niners, Welsh, I feel like that is a really good deal. So I love Cooper Kupp in that matchup. And ever since Pittman has been back for the Colts, he is seeing an increased role every single week. He looks better and better and better. They're going up against a rough Tennessee secondary. So I really like Michael Pittman at 5,700. I went to your boys, the Welsh, for the tight end and your suggestion, who you talked about on the Monday ITL podcast, Jordan Reed at 5,000 against the Rams. I think the Niners should be playing catch up a little bit. So I would love to see Jordan Reed. We just want to get him in the end zone. A wide receiver that has been getting all kinds of more action over the last 2 weeks in my flex spot. I have DJ Moore at 7,300 against Minnesota. Minnesota's secondary is real bad, and DJ Moore has been stepping up. So if Bridgewater's out again, I mean, Walker loves throwing to Moore, so he saw a ton of targets. And then my defense, I don't know how you can pick against this defense this week. How about the Giants at 4,300 against the Joe Burrow-less, no Joe Mango Bengals at 4,300? I think that is a smoking deal. So to go through it one more time, it's Patty Mahomes at top, Nick Chubb, James White, Cooper Kupp, Michael Pittman, Keenan Allen, Jordan Reed, DJ Moore. Giants defense is my FanDuel lineup. I'm feeling pretty confident.
I will tell you, I swear to God, we almost had the exact same lineup. Now, I made of adjustments. I'm telling you, it was infuriating listening. I even made...
You were being quiet. I was like, why is he being so quiet?
I made two adjustments on the fly because we were going to have... If I had stuck with my first lineup I did, we would have had one or two differences. I had the Giants defense in. I had Michael Pittman. I did make two changes. I had Cooper Kupp in my lineup, and I made a change out of that. And I had Nick Chubb as well, and I made a move off of that. So I've got my lineup all set, but I swear to God, we had four or five of the same plays, and I was with you on the Giants defense. And
such a good play this week, isn't it? It's crazy. Yeah.
Now, off of what you said, I believe we still have one crossover that I left in because I can't make it change any different, and it was a play I want to go. So here is my lineup for the week. I agree with you on the quarterbacks. I thought it was really tough. I went with the bottom end instead of I was going to literally go Mahomes or go near the bottom. And I'm going with Derek Carr, who's been playing a whole lot better. Worst defense Atlanta is just an atrocious defense. So one of the best defenses for him to be throwing against. I think they rank 32. So 7,100 Derek Carr. I'm going a little cheap. I'm also going with his running back mate in Josh Jacobs at 8,000, which Atlanta is a better run defensive team, but there's not a lot of great options. And I think Jacobs is still a guy where if they get into the red zone, he's going to be able to get in some touchdowns and he can catch the ball a bit. Now, I took out Chubb and I ended up putting in Alvin Kamara because I had the money left over. I'm a little bit worried about what happened in this last one. Especially with Taysom Hill and him not getting any catches. I think there could be a little bit of a reverse course, but they've got to go heavy Alvin Kamara. It's a median line matchup, so I've got Kamara at 8,600. My wideouts, I took out Kupp and I put in the other side, Robert Woods, because they both can eat. San Francisco secondary is horrible. And frankly, Robert Woods is the type of player that's going to give them even more fits. I think Kupp will have plenty of catches, but Woods is the bigger breakout guy. DJ Chark is my next one at 6,100. It's a good matchup against Cleveland, ranked 22nd, only 6,100. And I'm going up back to New Orleans because he did get a lot of targets under Taysom Hill. I'm going Michael Thomas at 7,700. He's been cheap, hasn't been great. It's again, median line matchup. But yeah, 7,700, pretty good. Jordan Reed is our crossover because I put him in. He was one of my mainstays, 5,000. San Francisco is going to get him the ball. My flex, I like this one. Going with Ronald Jones at only 6,500. Tampa's got Kansas City, who's not great on the run D. And Leonard Fournette was so bad on Monday Night Football. He did get that one touchdown early on, but he dropped three passes. I think he's losing more of that role. And I think this could be a coming week where that changes even more because it's a stronger defense, at least in the passing game for Tampa Bay. And I think Ronald Jones is going to be featured even more if the passing game is taken away. And defensively, I'm going with Minnesota against Carolina because Carolina doesn't have their starting quarterback, doesn't have their starting running back. And I mean, maybe the quarterback could be back, but I think they're in question a little bit. Minnesota is playing better. It isn't the best play. Rather, would have had the Giants, but I kind of ran out of money. So my final is Carr, Jacobs, Kamara, Woods, Chark, Michael Thomas, Jordan Reed, Ronald Jones, and Minnesota Vikings. I don't feel as confident as essentially the exact same lineup that you created earlier. I feel more confident in yours, so that's not good. We might be tied up going into week 13.
It's funny because when I first started making my lineup, I had Derek Carr as my quarterback too because I love that matchup. So I like your lineup, especially if they get Kamara more involved. And I think they have to. You can't have two games of him not catching any balls. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that front. All right, Got to go to break. When we come back, it is week 12 of the NFL. We're going to take a look at how we did last week. Gambling, and we're going to do over-unders and all the stuff. So don't go anywhere when this league's coming back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Friendos, if you guys love In This League, you can find all of our new merch over at Teespring. Teespring ITL store. That's what you put in Google. I'm not going to try to do the URL for you. It'll easily come up, and you can see all the brand new merch with the brand new logo. Shirts, hoodies, got zip-up hoodies, mugs, whatever you're looking for. Go and check it out and get yourself some brand new merch. Plus, we've got some of the oldies and goodies. Fat Lance. We've got the Boggs Jr., Prospects Assemble, all that stuff is on our store. And pick it up, and I imagine, I mean, you know, we don't necessarily have control over it, but I imagine Teespring will be having lots of, like, you know, Black Friday weekend sales going on as well where you can get some discounts. So pick up some stuff, support your boys, Teespring ITL store this weekend, and rep ITL out in public. Someday, Boggs, someday we will be repping. I mean, now we change the logo,
someday.
So it makes it. Makes it a little
things
difficult.
Things are going
to
get easier.
We'll be repping the logo, and someone will be like, hey, In This League. And we'll be like, yeah, that's us. Not just a shirt. It's us.
It's
but,
us.
You know.
And you said us with an S. Very impressed.
Oh, yeah, because I used to see it.
Us.
I wonder why I did that.
I don't know.
How long has it been since I've done that?
A couple years. 2 or 3 years. I think I pointed it out, you got really mad at me, and never brought it up again, and then your wife pointed it out, and I think you you started doing it right. So
yeah, I mean, you know, I had braces for like 7 years, and it
were
didn't,
S's rough then or something?
Yeah, I mean, you get kind of like a lisp. I mean,
sound
not
like
everybody
you,
did.
Holt?
Yeah, well, yeah, not quite Louie, but yeah. I definitely would have, it was a lot more work to make sure you sounded and talked like articulately without like, you know, thistle, 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 and having lots of lispy sounds. So it took more work to do it, but I think some things stuck around. You know, I still fight it with, you know, 7 years with damn braces. You're probably going to have some things that are going to carry over, some tendencies.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, your favorite mouth doctors.
Oh, yeah. They're my absolute favorite. I don't think they're all weirdo creeps at all. So
nope.
That's good.
That's exactly how you feel. All right. Going over to our week 12 picks, we got to go back to week 11 and see how we did. It was okay. I think I saw a lot more people out there, you know, burning fire to what was their picks. We were all just about okay.
We were fine.
Yeah.
Against
we were
the spread. Really okay.
I was 6-6 against the spread, 7-4 on the over unders, which ironically was the best of anybody this week. Bogman was 6-6 against the spread, 6-5 on the over unders. Bubba was 6-6, and then 5-6 on the over-under. So, on the year, I am 75-73 against the spread, 73-73 on the over-under. So, I'm 2 games over if you combine them. You are 83-65 against the spread, 66-80 on the over-unders, and Bubba is doing quite fine on both other sides here. So, doing better than both of us. So, you know, we're keeping it over. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I think you're like 3 or 4 games, if you combine them over 500, I'm 2. So
yeah,
right,
I would
there.
Be 4 if you combine them. I did love that of all the parlays that we picked, You got one right. You got Washington minus a point and a half. Everything else, we all got wrong. I missed all of mine. So did Bubba. And you missed your other two. So Atlanta, New Orleans. I mean, we did pick that as an over before we knew Taysom Hill was starting. So even if you want to watch that, you and I both had Green Bay. Didn't work out. I had Miami. They lost to Denver. Don't know how that happened. It was a weird week. I saw our guy Gary went 1-13 against the spread.
He was one of those people brutal. I saw that was like trying to burn everything down. When I saw, I was like, wow, that's a really bad week. I mean, we didn't have that bad of a week. We were fine. We were totally, we went relatively unscathed. We came out of this week with little damage. Technically, I would have made a buck here with a couple over on my over-unders. It would have technically like one game. So let's jump into week 12. You know, we got a little bit of a different slate going on here because we're just looking at the weekend stuff. And let's start it off with Arizona, New England. We've got Arizona minus 2.5, 49.5 is your over-under, Boggs. Where are you going?
In that one, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I just think they're the hotter team. We've seen the Patriots go up and down and up and down and up and down this year. I don't know where they're at right now. I don't think I can trust Cam Newton. So give me Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, and give me the over in that game. 49.5 is a really good line. I think there's a lot of really good lines on the over-unders this week. I mean, I haven't been great at them any 14 games under 500, but I'm going to take the over with the Cardinals in this game. So AZ in the over for me.
Yeah, see, I don't like the over at all in this game. I think there's, you know, the defensive plan on New England is going to be able to shut down, or is going to be focused on shutting down DeAndre Hopkins, which gets more to the ground level. I still just don't think New England's offense works enough, regardless if James White is rocking. You might get Sonny Michel back out in there, so it's going to slow the pace down. And I like the under in it. I'm not sure there's going to be a whole bunch of early scoring or in how effective Kyler Murray is ultimately going to be, but I like Arizona. I like Arizona 2.5 over New England for sure. And I think I like the under. I don't know how confident I am. I put on a parlay. I might be that confident if we're getting into that level as far as where I think it's going to go on the under. Next game, we don't have the over-under line. We just have the spread, and it's Carolina at Minnesota. Minnesota 4.5.
Yeah, I think this the over-under is questionable because Teddy Bridgewater is questionable. So no line there. But, I mean, look, the Vikings have been – they just lost to Dallas. They've been up and down too. But I still think they're better than Carolina. Carolina's been playing some good football this year. I don't have a lot of confidence in this pick. This is not a line that I would run towards at all. But if I have to pick a team here, I'm going to pick the home team. Give me the Vikings in this game by 4.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, that's why also I took Minnesota's. I'd probably be taking the under unless it was like low 40s or something like that. Then I just wouldn't feel confident. But that's why I took Minnesota's defense, because I think, you know, Carolina's still reeling a little bit. DJ Moore's looked good, but if you're bringing another backup quarterback in there, Minnesota has been playing better. Just run it down their throats. They can control the ball as much as they need to in the clock. So I like Minnesota minus 4.5 in full agreement. Speaking of controlling the clock and running the ball a whole lot, should be a lot of running in this game. Cleveland at Jacksonville. Cleveland minus 6.5. The over is set at 49. Lots of Chubb. We'll see where Kareem Hunt is. And we know the Jaguars do nothing but James Robinson. So what do you think about this game?
Yeah, it's almost easy with Cleveland games recently. You just take Cleveland and you take the under because they do run the ball so much and they do it so effectively that they usually have possession over whoever they're playing. So that's exactly, I'm going to keep that rolling here against Jacksonville. I watched Jacksonville last week against my Steelers. They're just not great. You know, Jake Luton turns the ball over. I don't think Minshew's going to be back this week either. So looks like we're probably going to get Luton again still. So Cleveland and the under for me.
Yeah, this is another one of those like confident unders, and that's all I've taken so far just because of maintaining the ball. I mean, I do think DJ Chark has the potential to have a game, but Cleveland, they just don't throw the ball at the same length. And, you know, both teams are going to want to be running the ball and establishing that as much as possible, and that's going to just kill down the clock. Now, if Jacksonville's defense completely falls apart and you've got Hunt and Chubb just, you know, scoring touchdowns at will, then it's going to open this game completely up, because if Jacksonville is reeling on their feet, they're going to be slanging the ever-living crap out of the ball. But I like the under, and I like Cleveland minus 6.5. Let's get one more in here. And this is the high flying one. I think this is tied for the highest over under line of the week at 55.5. It's Las Vegas at Atlanta, and Vegas is a 3-point road favorite, Boggs.
Yeah, you know, the Raiders almost beat the Chiefs last week. They've been playing some good football. So I'm going to take the Raiders in this one on the road against Atlanta. And we saw Atlanta's offense lay a complete egg last week against the Saints. I know the Saints are the number one team in the NFC right now as far as record goes, but I'm going to take the under in this game. Give me the Raiders and the under. I'm just not confident in Atlanta. You know, I think now we're hitting that part of the year where they start to fade.
I'm kind of worried a little bit about with you with the line, but this is the one. If I'm going to pick one, like, let me look down this list here. Yeah, like if I'm going to pick, I mean, really, it's the two high ones. Well, and the Seattle game as well. But like, you know, those 50 games, like this is the one. Like the Raiders are going to sling it 40 or 50 times. Atlanta's going to have to do the same thing. I don't think Atlanta's going to trust in the running game. Josh Jacobs can be a force in the passing game. There's a bunch of solid wide receivers on Atlanta's side. And, you know, David Carr has made Nelson Aguilar look like a stud. Like, I almost put him in my DFS lineup this week. I was just like, well, if I'm going to pair them together, it makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of points to be had here just because Atlanta's defense is so atrocious in the passing game. You know, this is going to be the plan. They're just going to sling the crap out of the ball where they can. And, where do you think the under sits with you taking the under? I'm a little bit curious because usually these are like the exact type of games where you're like, oh yeah, smash the over. But are you gun shy because of New Orleans, Atlanta from last week?
Yeah, I'm gun shy because Atlanta didn't look good last week. Julio has the hamstring. You know, Todd Gurley is okay, but he's not great. They gave Brian Hill just as many snaps as him last week. And the Raiders can fold up shop at any point. And I wouldn't be shocked. The Falcons have been playing better defense. So I just think that the line jumps out to you at 55.5 is almost a clear over, but I don't see the game playing out that way at all. So I'm actually more confident in the under than I am in taking Vegas by 3.
Oh, really? Okay. Cause I'm very confident about the Vegas -3, but, I don't think I'm going to be putting it on a parlay or anything, but I do like the over in this one. All right. When we come back, we've got a full set of games still to go with. You've got, I want to say 1, 2, 3. You've got 4 games that are set on the 50 line, and then you got a couple low ones, just some really dicey ones. I mean, Miami Jets just put that one on a ship and sent it to the moon, so we don't have to even take any part of that one. But we've got Chargers, Buffalo, my Niners against the Rams, where their defense has been so strong, but the Niners are getting all of their offensive pieces back. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman and Welsh in this league. We've got more coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out.
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. Bogman Welsh, and we are taking a look at week 12. We've got all the picks, lines, over-unders, and that's what we're doing. You missed any of it, go back and listen on demand. All the episodes and all the hours are going to be available. So if you missed hour one, you can go back and listen. If you happen to be listening live, you might have to wait, a couple minutes, just a tiny bit, before you can go back and listen to parts of hour two. But don't miss any of it. Last segment is where we went through the first 4 games of week 12. Picking back up, Boggs, and we are jumping over to the Clippers. We're going to the Los Angeles Chargers, who are going to Buffalo. Buffalo is a 5.5-point favorite. 53.5 is the line.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth on this game because The Chargers offense is very impressive. And they might be getting Eckler back. We're not 100%
there. He's designated for the return. It's just, will he get into the game?
Right, exactly. So I think I'm going to take the Chargers in this game. I'm not super confident in it. I'm definitely going to take the under, though. I don't know if, 53.5. Some of these lines to me are just too big. I'm going to take a lot of overs after this one, but this is another under I'm going to take here because I just don't know if it all adds up. So give me the Chargers and give me the under.
I see where you're going with that. I mean, I don't particularly love the line, but these are just two big offenses. You know, Herbert, and you're not going to take away. If I told you both these quarterbacks are going to throw for 3 touchdowns in this game, you'd be like, yeah, Diggs has been one of the most consistent. Keenan Allen has been one of the most consistent. They've got that going for them. Both can move away from the run, whether Eckler there is not. Both of these teams could just get it in the air, and they've got some deep threats. So I like the over. I actually really like the over in this one. 5.5, I mean, it makes me feel better about the Chargers. I'm not sure if they win outright, especially going into Buffalo. But
I definitely wouldn't take them to win outright.
Yeah, but I'm going to take the Chargers, get in the 5.5 points, and I'm going to go with the over. This is the game that you can fire into the sun if you want. The Miami Dolphins going to the New York Jets. Miami,
you don't
want to
watch the 31st offense versus the 32nd offense in the NFL? What's your problem?
I don't. 6.5-point favorite to Miami. 44.5 is the line. I mean, yeah, you're going to get Tua, maybe, if they don't pull him again. Is this the Sam Darnold return game?
It might be. But honestly, I think for this, I'm going to go with Miami. And I'm going to go with the over, even though this is 32nd versus 31st. We just saw the Jets put up some points against the Chargers last week. Now, the Chargers' favorite thing to do is to get up and then let the other team come back, which is exactly what happened.
It is their
in
favorite
that game. But I think, we saw the Jets look not bad against the Patriots on offense a couple weeks ago as well. So I think this one is, I'm kind of confident in the over in this game because the bar is set so low at 44.5. But I can't take the Jets. I just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised you feel so confident about it because this feels like a 24-10 game. This just feels where you're turning. The Jets offense is just putrid and you're back down to Frank Gore. I mean, obviously you have Crowder, but the whole offense is putrid. Miami's defense pretty strong, but their offense hasn't been that much better. I think they lost Ahmed. So I think they're going to go to Breida. They got Tua back who, which two are you going to ultimately end up getting? Does he like to even sling the ball far right now? I just don't see either offense as being super on point. And like I said, I see this as a 24-10 type of game, Miami winning. So I'm going to tap the under and I'm going to take Miami even regardless of those 6.5 points. Next up, you've got the Giants and Cincy. We talked about in the DFS side how good the Giants look for this week because Cincinnati, they've got Fit Finley out there. They've got no Joe Burrow. The Giants are a 5-point road favorite, and the line is set at 42.5.
I mean, can you believe that any team in the NFC East is a 5-point road favorite?
Oh.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's amazing.
I'm going to take the Giants. The Bengals have nothing without Joe Burrow. They are gross. So give me the Giants and give me the 42.5. And give me the over. I don't like this game. In games that I don't like, as far as the over-under goes, I always take the over. So, Giants in the over.
With how your over-unders have gone this year, maybe you need to do the opposite of that.
That's true.
Your strategy has been, if I don't like it, I take the over. Maybe it's like, if you don't like it, you should take the under.
I've actually been pretty good the last couple weeks, though. 7-5, 9-3, and 6-5.
That's pretty dang good. That's pretty dang good as of recent. It was just early on. This game is difficult on every single front because of who the Giants, like a 5-point road favorite,
but
for
Cincinnati's
them. They are, but I worry there's a trap that's set in here because, if the Bengals, if they want to have the best success possible, they are going to mitigate the opportunities to be in Finley's hand as much as possible. So it's going to be short passes, lots of running, dink and dunk, screens, stuff like that. And I wonder if that's going to get to the Giants because they've got great wide receivers. They've got an incredible wide receiver core that is going to test them. So I feel a little bit trappy here, but I am going to go with the Giants, and I'm going to take the under because I just don't see how either team is going to dominantly move the ball. Neither of the running games.
When this game's 17-3, I'm going to be very upset.
It 100% feels like where this game is going to go. Yeah, so I'm going to tap the under, and I'm going to go with the Giants. Tennessee is going to Indianapolis. Indy's a 3.5-point home favorite. 50.5 is set for the line.
I seem to get the Colts wrong every single week. Like, the week I pick them, they look like garbage. The week I pick against them, they beat the Packers in overtime. So I'm not the greatest at picking the Colts this year, but I'll take the Colts at home against Tennessee. I just think that when Tennessee has nothing going on offense, they're, you know, Derrick Henry's not going to get rolling downhill against the Colts, I don't think. So give me the Colts at home. The over under I hate in this game. 50.5 is such a good line. You know, this to me is like a 27-23 game, somewhere in that range, which is right on that borderline. But you want to give a little cushion for more scores in today's NFL. So I'll take the over, but I'm way more confident in the Colts, and I'm not that confident in them. So give me the Colts and give me the over. But overall for this game, I don't think I would be messing with it. This is going to be a fun game to watch because it's going to be a playoff type of a game. But I don't think this is a game I'd be putting my money on.
Yeah, I don't think I feel super confident one way or the other, though. I just think Tennessee with Derrick Henry, even though Indy's defense has been so good, Derrick Henry is another beast. And you've got the wide receivers that are popping up a little bit. I think the offense is a little bit better set in Tennessee. I'm kind of with you. I don't know if I do well again with the Colts because I don't believe in Rivers, and I don't see how they continue to maintain what they do in the running game and the passing. You know, the wide receivers have been so inconsistent. All of a sudden, Michael Pittman pops up. I just don't trust in the Colts, so I more confidently pick Tennessee. I agree with you. That line is like, it's right there, but I'm going to tap the over as well, but I'm just going to take Tennessee.
The Colts won 34-17 in Tennessee. That Derrick Henry had 103 yards, but he didn't get in the end zone. So they held Tannehill to 147 passing yards last time. So that's why I'll go with the Colts. But like I said, you know, Tennessee has been kind of bipolar. Both these teams are good. They're both 7-3. So going to be a fun one to watch. Fun one to bet on. Not so much.
New Orleans is going to Denver, and they are a 5.5-point road favorite. I want to say, I was looking here at that five. I guess Miami is the highest road favorite. Miami and Cleveland are tied. This is near there, but New Orleans, a 5.5-point road favorite. 44 is the line in Denver.
I mean, Denver just, I don't necessarily like teams going to Denver, but I do think the Saints were my Super Bowl pick. So I'm going to take them against Denver and Drew Lock. They just made the Falcons offense look foolish. So I think you have to take them. 44 is so low. I wanted this game to be like 50 so I could take the under, but 44 is too low. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints did most of that. You know, Saints scored 35. You're looking for 10 points from the Broncos. I think we can get that out from them. So give me the Saints and give me the over in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Over, I mean, you know that they are playing with you. You know that this is a test. It's a trap. 100% at that 44, you want to tap the over.
Black bar.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's one of those that you look, if you were to pick like the top three most, you know, enticing bets to place, the over in that New Orleans Denver is near the top, and it's a total trap, but I got to take it. I got to go with the over because I agree. There's just too many weapons in New Orleans, and, you know, who knows where Taysom Hill adjusts into this next game. Drew Lock hasn't been horrible. Judy has been better. You've got Melvin Gordon and Lindsay went off last week, so they can play both sides of the ball. So I'm going to take the over, but I'm also going to take New Orleans here. San Francisco is going to the Rams, and San Francisco is bringing back a whole bunch of their injured guys, but the Rams are a 7-point favorite. 45.5 is set at the line, Boggs.
I know Debo's coming back. Who else is coming back?
Mostert
come back?
Mostert.
Okay.
Mostert's back. There's someone on defense now. I'm forgetting who. I think Coleman's coming back. Mostert's coming back. Debo's coming back. I think Ayuk is good to go. I think he might have been replaced back on the COVID list, and I think he'll most likely be back to go. So they should have their wide receivers. They have their running backs all back. They still have Nick Mullins, unfortunately, and I think the defense is about status quo. So a bunch of offensive weapons are coming back.
Yeah, the last time they played, Jimmy G had a huge game. He had 3 touchdowns, and the Niners won. The Niners beat them before. I just think the Rams are playing on a different level right now. Jared Goff looks good. He made Tom Brady so mad that Brady wouldn't even shake his hand after the game. So I'm going to take the Rams in this one, but I'm going to take the over. I think the Niners could potentially score a little bit. 45.5 is not a big over anyway. So give me the Rams on this hot streak and give me the over in this game.
I'm taking the over as well, but I'm going to go with San Francisco, not to win this outright, but because I'm getting 7 points. Now, San Francisco with those offensive weapons back, Raheem Mostert really opens up the offense a bit. They'll probably feature Jordan Reed a bit more. The wide receivers just spread the ball out, and if they can just mitigate, this is coming off of a bye also. This is a big reason for me to also take the Niners. They're coming off of a bye with new healthy players, coming off of a second game where they beat this team before. So I think there's a lot of playbook to work with. So Niners plus 7, and I'm taking the over. Kansas City at Tampa Bay. Kansas City's a 3.5-point favorite. 55.5. That's your big line here, is the over-under.
I'm going to take the under in this game. This 55.5 feels trappy. It feels like it's Brady versus Mahomes. You should definitely take the over. Those games play to the under. So I'm going to take the under in this game. Not confidently. Probably not a game I would bet on. But I also, look, the Chiefs, you're going to have to throw the ball against the Bucks. So, I mean, this is why I took Patrick Mahomes in my DFS as well. I think anytime you force the Chiefs into passing, Mahomes is going to carve you up. So give me Kansas City, but give me the under in this game.
I'm going to go Kansas City. I'm going to go to the under as well. Tampa Bay's defense has played really well. There might be an established run. I could see Tampa Bay. That's why I pick Ronald Jones, trying to go that route a little bit more. Kansas City has also played down in a lot of games on those over-unders. So I'm going to go with Kansas City and the under. Two more quick ones here. Chicago, Green Bay, there's no overline. Green Bay's favored by 8.5. Give me Green Bay.
Yeah, give me Green Bay too. No over-under because we don't know who's going to be the quarterback for Chicago. Doesn't matter. Still going to be Green Bay.
Yeah, exactly. And then Seattle at Philly. Seattle's a 5-point favorite. 51 on the road. 51 is the line, Boggs.
There's just no way you can take Philly with any confidence right now. Carson Wentz leads the league in picks and fumbles. He's not playing his best football right now. It is the nicest way you can say that. So you got to take Seattle, and I'm going to take the over in this game too, because I think they're going to put up a ton of points on Philly, especially if they get any amount of turnovers. It's going to be a bloodbath here. Give me Seattle. Give me the over.
I'm with you. I'm Seattle and the over as well. And when we come back, we are going to do our three-game parlay apiece. We have our own three-game parlay, and then we'll make our pick to the ITL parlay where me, Bubba, and Bogman all pick one for the ultimate parlay, which we have not hit yet. So don't go anywhere in this league. Final segment, hour two, coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I'm back!
It's ITL, final segment of Hour 2, which means I step out, and our boy Casey Bubba's coming in Hour 3. What's on the docket for Bubba and Bogman in Hour 3?
We're going to do some bets. We are going to talk a little baseball before that as well, see maybe where he thinks Snell is going to go. I almost said Benny Snell. So Blake Snell is going to go. And so baseball and football as per usual with Bubba.
All right, we'll stick around for Bubba in Hour 3. Final up here is our three-team parlay. Boggs, here's my three-team, and then I'll give you my ultimate pick. I am going Seattle -5. Everything you said about Philly, absolutely. Give me Seattle all day. So much so, that is my ITL lock as well. So that's my one pick for the ITL parlay. I'm going Seattle -5. My second leg of my own parlay, I'm going Miami -6.5 over the Jets. I know it's a road game, but I like Tua in this one, and the Jets are 0-10. And finally, I told you how much I really like this. I like the San Francisco Rams over because I think the 49ers are going to score some points. So Seattle -5, Miami -6.5, and San Francisco Rams over.
For me, I also have Seattle -5. That's not my lock, though. My lock is going to be Cleveland -6.5 against Jacksonville. They're just reeling right now. There's going to be, looks like a little bit of rain in that game, and we know Cleveland has been playing great in that weather. So give me Cleveland -6.5. And then just the Chiefs are turning it on right now. So the Bucks are going the other way as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see this be a tightly contested game, but even in a tightly contested game, I think that the Chiefs can win by four. So give me Kansas City minus 3.5 as well. So so my leg of the parlay is Cleveland minus 6.5, Seattle minus 5, KC minus 3.5.
And if you guys want to hear what the full ITL parlay looks like, make sure you listen to Hour 3, and you get the third leg with Bubba. But Cleveland, Seattle, Kansas City for Bogman. I've got Seattle, Miami, and the San Francisco Rams over. Those are individual parlays, and let's get it going in Week 12. Friendos, I am out of here, but make sure you come and check us out over on Patreon. It's the reason for the season, right? And you guys can get all caught up with everything that is In This League. But don't go anywhere. More In This League coming up in Hour 3.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.